Brethren, see to it that you walk with care, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious, dear parishioners, as I said earlier, and you knew this already, today is Mission Sunday. And there is and always will be a tremendous need to reach out to souls, to give them the Catholic faith, because without it, they cannot save their souls. So what a wonderful gift Pope Pius XI gave us by instituting this observance of Mission Sunday. The days will always be evil, more or less. As St. Paul says to the Ephesians, we must make the most of our time. I wanted to tell you about Pope Pius XI. He is obviously not a canonized saint, but he achieved a tremendous amount of good in his pontificate. He was pope for 17 years. And as I said, he instituted this observance of Mission Sunday, but I want you to be aware of these other things that he accomplished. He was elected pope a little over, 100 years ago. It was, I believe, in February of 1922. It was a very difficult time in European history. It was in between the two world wars, and a lot of people were suffering and starving in Europe because of the devastation of World War I, which had concluded in 1918. But still, there was so many residual problems. And then, of course, people didn't know, they couldn't know the future, that a worse war was going to happen. I'm also reminded of what Our Lady said at Fatima. She appeared during World War I, and she prophesied, this is part of the second secret of Fatima, that a worse war will break out if the message of Our Lady is not heeded. Well, guess what happened? Obviously, it wasn't heeded. And therefore, that worse war broke out. What's also interesting is, and this may have been a revelation to Sister Lucia later on, I'm not sure if it was the actual part of the second secret, maybe it was, but that the war would break out during the reign of Pope Pius XI. So it's Our Lady is already prophesying who the Pope will be and that it will start during his reign. But Pope Pius XI died in early 1939, and historians say that the official beginning of World War II was September 1st, when Germany invaded Poland. So I wondered about that. Was this an error or a mistranslation or something? But then you have to remember, Hitler was already invading countries in Europe in 1938 during the reign of Pope Pius XI. So yes, the war was already beginning. He annexed part of Czechoslovakia. He annexed Austria. He was definitely, Germany was a war machine on the move. So how tragic that World War II had to happen. Because again, as little Jacinta said, war is a punishment for sin. How foolish of people to say, we can do away with wars with our own efforts, through our own peace initiatives. Remember what they called World War I after it happened? It was the war to end all wars. Why? Because we men, we prideful men, are going to make sure that no more war happens. Pride. We don't need God. We'll do it on our own. And of course, people fall flat on their face over and over and over again because, as our Lord said to the apostles, without me, you can do nothing. But to get back to Pope Pius XI, he had a very difficult pontificate, but he wrote some amazingly powerful teachings in his encyclicals. For example, he instituted the Feast of Christ the King in his encyclical on Christ's kingship. We're going to be celebrating that next Sunday. That's due to Pope Pius XI. The Feast of Christ the King. And he said, not only individuals and families and the church have the duty to kneel before Christ the King and subject themselves. Yes, every government in the world has that obligation. Doesn't that sound so foreign to our ears, to the liberal atmosphere out there where there's nothing about submitting to Christ the King? Now remember, the church does not concern itself directly with politics. That's not its realm. But there are moral issues involved. And as Pope Pius XI taught, the state must kneel before Christ and say, you are our King. And so many of the world's evils and problems come from that refusal to take on the sweet yoke of Christ, to acknowledge him. And it's a free choice that has to be made. It cannot be forced. How many countries are there where the leaders of the country will consecrate their country to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and say, we submit to thy loving rule? I can scarcely think of any. But so true his teaching. When the Anglican Church instituted the approval of the mortal sin of birth control in 1930, he reacted to that very quickly. He wrote his magnificent encyclical on Christian marriage, and he explains why that is a mortal sin, why that can never be approved and practiced. And he talked about the dignity, the beauty of this, especially of the sacrament of matrimony when two baptized people get married properly. So something you need to read. Another encyclical you need to read is his encyclical on Catholic education, published the year before in 1929. He explains how the church has the duty to have Catholic schools, how children need to attend schools in which God is acknowledged and where his law is upheld. He said, if you exclude God from education, it's necessarily a false system of education. And he outlined principles of how to properly educate boys to become Catholic men, girls to become Catholic ladies. So what a great pontiff indeed he was. But as I said, he also instituted today's observance. It's not a feast, but he called it Mission Sunday. Think about the need to participate in the missionary activity of the church. Of her very essence, the church is missionary. Our Lord told the apostles before he ascended into heaven, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And obviously, priests and religious are called to missionary activity in a more direct way. They give, that's the purpose of their lives, if they're in an active religious order, or they're priests that are part of the, you know, sent out as missionaries. But really, everyone needs to participate in some way. That's the idea here. One of the things that Pope Pius XI talked about quite a bit was Catholic action. And he called it the apple of his eye. I was fortunate to be able to give a talk on this in the Fatima conference, just recently concluded. But it is Catholic action, and if you want, let's have the definition of it. It is the participation of the laity with the clergy in promoting morality in society. And Pope Leo XIII talked about this, Pope St. Pius X talked about it, Pope Benedict XV talked about it, Pope Pius XI taught it consistently, Pope Pius XII as well, saying he urged Catholics to work with the clergy in promoting morality in society. Why? What happens when Catholics do not do that? Evil prospers. Bad values are promoted. And we're seeing that exactly that. We saw the loss of this Catholic influence after Vatican II. You know, with all of their hyperbole about Catholics are supposed to be fervent, they're supposed to be, you know, they're all called to holiness. We've seen nothing but a terrible slide in morality among Catholics. It's shocking to see how many of them approve of outright evils, abortion, unnatural marriage. Again, the relativism that was promoted by Vatican II has absolutely left its mark. But nevertheless, let's not be discouraged by that. Let's still think of what we can do to help promote the faith, to help promote morality. It's not politics per se, because again, the Catholic Church is not concerned with that. It's not her realm. Render to Caesar what is Caesar's, render to God what is God's. But remember, moral issues always come under the purview of the church. The church must always and will always make her voice heard on matters of faith and matters of morals. Not to get into too much detail now, but in my talk, I gave some practical suggestions on Catholic action that can be done. Again, promoting morality and, yes, even sharing the faith. Any pro-life efforts you make, supporting pro-life causes, working for the elimination of this horrendous scourge from our society. Praying at Planned Parenthood when you can. Things of this nature, again, promote morality, promote the faith, promote morals. Assisting priests, the St. Francis Xavier Missionary Guild, that's all about Catholic action, supporting the travel that priests will go through in order to help bring the faith to other areas. Offering up your own prayers and sacrifices, praying the rosary, promoting the rosary. One day through the rosary and scapular, the world will be saved. We had that, the details of that prophecy in last Sunday's bulletin in the little story about the rosary. So again, that's the purpose of our collection today. That's Catholic action right there. but sharing the rosary and scapular with people. You come into contact with many people. Think of the opportunity. Now, obviously, you can't just give everybody a rosary and a scapular, but think of the people that you could give it to. Most people will accept it. And don't just hand them out willy-nilly. We have to make sure they're going to use them properly. I've heard of Protestants accepting rosaries and scapulars, and then they started praying the rosary, and they converted. The graces came through that rosary. I told you on the first Sunday of October that memorable story of the gentleman in New Zealand who, even though he didn't believe, he kept praying the rosary, and he ended up becoming a Catholic. There's also the apostolate, or the Catholic action. Yes, Catholic action is really a corporate effort, but even as an individual, you can make a difference. The apostolate of good example. Showing people how to live by the way you act in your daily life, out in the work field, wherever you are, or out in the running errands, being out there. Our Lord told us we're the salt of the earth, the city seated on the mountain, the candle that is not to be put under a bushel, but upon a candlestick. So my words to you today, my dear parishioners, I hope heighten your awareness of what you can do in the missionary activity of the church. One other area, don't want to forget about this, and the popes have talked about this, about voting. And we have to pray for pro-life candidates to be elected so that this, to help bring about, God willing, an end one day to the horror of abortion. And that is, in my opinion, an absolute deal breaker. If somebody is willing to vote for the killing of children, they should never, ever get a vote. I'm reminded of, this is a story I remember reading some 20 years ago about a village in or town in Italy where consistently a communist was elected mayor. And this, there's no excuse. This Italy is at least nominally well over 90%, probably well over 95% Catholic, nominally, of course. They're not living the faith, but the numbers are there. And the priest told them one day, you're going to go to hell if you keep electing this man that's championing anti-Catholic, anti-God values. Unfortunately, they woke up and voted him out of office. But they needed to be reminded of their grave moral responsibility. Now, I know we all have only one vote. We sometimes wonder if how that vote is even compromised, but I don't think we should just stop. As a matter of fact, I'm going to say we should still not stop. We still have to do what we can. And again, clear line here. Pure politics, the church doesn't get involved. But when it's a moral issue and the life of the unborn is absolutely a moral issue, here is how we can participate in Catholic action. So let us praise God for this wonderful Pope. Maybe he will be canonized one day, but he did so much to teach us. Let us listen to those wonderful teachings of Pope Pius XI. Let us thank God for his leadership, his teaching. That's what a true pope does. He always guides the church properly. He never leads the church astray in his official capacity. And here he was, this giant, leading us, guiding us, inspiring us to be better members of Christ's holy church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.